Wow! Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Wonderful introduction to praise and worship. Let's see. Is Steve, are we? Okay. Couple of things. I got several announcements to make, very important ones. But I want to share with you my friend John Hintz. You know John and his church. They feel very much associated with us. But what John does with his building, he has allowed, they have allowed a black charismatic group to lease or rent their building, and they meet at different times other than when John does. And in fact, that's a wonderful, great story. The pastor called John and asked John if they could meet, and so John said yes, and so they sat down to meet. And the pastor presented what he would like to do in using the building sometime when John's church was not. And John, they talked, and John said that would be fine. Something like the pastor, the black pastor, said, "Well, what price do you have? Would it be?" And John said, "Well, what do you have in mind?" And so the black pastor, gave a price, and John said, "Fine." And he went, "Fine." He said, "Yeah, fine." And said, "Boy, you just don't know how many churches, how much they want to charge, and we're on a tight budget." And this, John said, "You're on a tight budget?" He said, "Then take off 100 off of that." And just the pastor didn't know what to do. And well, what they did last night, they had a joint service, and it was really, really, I talked to John this morning. And I talked to John. I emailed him about 6 o'clock our time, and I said, "If you get up and if you get this, please call me. If you get up before 9 our time, 7 his." And so he called me, and it just went absolutely fantastic, as we both knew it would, and prayed. John, as you know, John with his sense of humor and all. So what they did this last week, he said, "I got to get y'all ready for to meet with the charismatic people." And so he said, "What we're going to do is we're going to learn how to raise our hands. And there's an art to this. And do you raise it all the way up, or the palms up, or out, or down?" And so he was having fun. And he said, "I'm not going to go." He did it like, "Jesus is good." And somebody in his own congregation just right in line. All the time. And boy, it caught him off guard. He said, "Wait a minute. Y'all are already there." And I told him, I said, "John, the art is not in the hand raising. The art is rolling on the floor without ruining your clothes. That's the art." And but he called this morning, all kidding aside, and the way they had set it up was the black church would be in charge of the music, and then John would do the teaching, and then John and the pastor would jointly do the communion. And so I asked John how that went, and he said, "Herman, it was just fantastic. They did a great job with the children. They joined the children of both churches together, and then they all sang." And I said, wait, let me ask you a question. That brings up a question. I said, and John is so quick. I don't know if he's a frustrated comedian or pastor, but he's so quick. Because I said, now I just got to ask you, and I'm just half kidding, half serious. Did the white sit on one side and the black sit on the other side? He said, no. The white sat at the front and the black sat at the back. And he said, "Nope." He said, "That was just so beautiful." He said, everybody sat together everywhere and talked and interacted. He said, it was a beautiful thing to watch. And so that was really wonderful. And then they did the singing, and then he did a study from Isaiah. And then for Christmas, and then they did the communion together, and they're associated with a lot of ritual. They had everything appear, and then two ladies in white came up, and he took the cloth off of the elements, folded them up, and then they brought little urns, and both of the pastors had washed their hands, and then they jointly gave it out. And so he said it was just a beautiful night. And I thought that was really super. I wanted to share that with you. And Dan Hill in Tulsa, a couple of the big churches had made a big point that they were not going to be meeting on Sunday morning. Well, Dan has, if you've ever been by his church, he has a lighted sign out that you put a sign on in front of his church. And so what he did for today, it says, open for business. And, they're doing really well. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves as to why we're here, the worship of God. Kind of mix it in with your Sunday. I'm so glad you're here on Christmas morning. I also found out the last time Sunday was on a Christmas, 10 years ago, because of leap year. I thought it'd be every 7 years, but because of leap year, it was 10 years ago. And I go, oh, well, okay, then that's why I couldn't remember, well, what have we done in the past? But I remember that 10 years ago, we were on Spring Valley, and our kids came in and sang that morning. And I remember it now that they're reflecting on it, that it was in 96. But it's 10 years ago. Usually, I don't know why I'm thinking every 7 years I'd forgotten leap year and all of that. So it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm glad you're here to worship God in the midst of all of your fun and family and celebration. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We do praise you, Father. We praise you that in Christ there is neither male nor female, there is neither black or white, there is neither free man or slave. That in Christ we are all members of the same body. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the joy that we have this morning. The joy, Heavenly Father, that God became man, that he entered into the human race, that he might take our place, that we might have everlasting life and joy and freedom and live life with enthusiasm. And we pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, it's Christmas morning. Carol number 80. Number 80, Away in the Manger. Now, I'm sure all of you remember a manger is a feeding trough for animals. And it was a picture of Jesus Christ as the feeding trough of the world, that if you want life, you feed upon him. And you do that by faith. So let's stand and sing all three verses, Away in the Manger. Let's don't talk about it. Let's talk about next Saturday night. All right. Next Sunday morning and the following Sunday mornings. I'll go through it as cleanly and precisely as I can. If you have any questions, let me know. First of all, the status quo here. This morning, we'll take our chairs, our things, and put back here. So I know some of you, if you have family plans and everything, and you got to skedaddle. If you've got to get out of here in a hurry, then I understand. But if you can help us, we'll just put these things in the room back there and clear out. This will become a nightclub, and if you come on Tuesday, Wednesday night, come up here. They'll want your dues, and then you'll play Texas Hold'em. This is what this room is going to become. And so we have to be out this afternoon. Now, let's talk about Tuesday and Wednesday. Those of you who are able to make it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we don't have that many, so we're going to meet back here in our room. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we'll meet back here. That brings us to New Year's Eve. Yes, sir. That's going to back door. Do you have a key yet? I'll call Tony and see if we can get a key. So you'll want to come around and come in the back door there. I'll try to get here early and mark it and let you know. Now, that takes care of Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, Saturday night, New Year's Eve. What we're going to do, a lot of things are changing, so we're just going to meet at 7 o'clock, and we'll go to a little after 9. We'll have study of the Word. I want to start in the year of 06. We're going to start the book of Romans. I want to kick it off New Year's Eve like I did Job, but we're not going to start it immediately in January, but I want to kick it off in New Year's Eve, getting us ready for the year of 06 and the study of Romans. So we'll meet from 7 to a little after 9. We'll study the Word, then we'll have a fellowship break, and then we'll come back and finish. We'll have communion, and then you can go out and party and do whatever you want. And Jim Passmore and I are going to go our homes and go to bed. So that will be New Year's Eve. Now, as to where that's going to be, I've often wondered about Wes and Sharon's mental thinking, and now I really have questions. They've invited us all over to their house on New Year's Eve for our service. And so let's start off, Sharon, with the address. And if you have any questions after I put this on, you can ask Sharon, Wes, or you can call me. And also, Leslie, can we have this on the internet that we send everybody email? Good. Okay, we'll put this out on the email to everyone. Leslie has a where she taps into everybody about the announcements, and so. But it will be Saturday night, 7 o'clock, and what is the address? 1312. I'm sorry. Land Drive. Okay, best way I could get is Plano. And I'm going to take you from here. You don't have to drive here and then get there. You're just taking you from here. If you were to go up, go down McCollum, and then here's Coit. So here's Coit. And this is, actually, I should draw this way. You're going north, but down the way. And here is the George Bush. Where's me a better? I had one the other night. What did we do with it? Did I put it in here? Nope. Anyway, here it is. George Bush, and you come across, and that is Plano Parkway, isn't it? You'll take a left going west on Plano Parkway. This is Plano Parkway. It's right there by, if you're driving this down this way north on Coit, you come to the hospital. At that corner, you want to turn left, correct? Oh, so you turn before then. Okay. All right. Then, at all fines, come down here. And then, Land Drive is right there. comes off of it. Now you know right where it is. All right. So here's Ohio. Pinto Parkway. One block back this way. On Plano. Okay. Or... zip code? 75093. And all of this will be on the email that we'll send out 7 o'clock. And if you can bring some finger food, we're not going to ask them to feed us and all. If you can bring some finger food for the fellowship time, would be nice. And we'll study and worship and have communion. And then, as I said, then we'll dismiss. All right, any questions about Tuesday, Wednesday? Any questions about New Year's Eve? Now, next Sunday morning, I have questions. Because I have no idea where we're going to meet. What I did Friday, I spent my Friday, a part of my Friday, going up and down Coit and McCollum, and visited nearly every apartment and asked them if any possibility of renting their little game rooms and things like that. And everyone was just really nice in their saying no. And some of them didn't have it, and some of them said it was just for the apartment people, and all kinds of different answers. So we've got different things that that I'm working on. Jeff came up this morning and said that he might have something, but it's east of 35. I'm going to look at the Weston, which is down here on Campbell and 75. Someone said that they understood they rent out, and so in the past. So we'll just what you're going to have to do is call me. Or look at the email when we find out, and we'll put that on the email, and we'll also have a little sign on the door here. It'll be a little rough, but hopefully if you desire to start off the year that way and worship, and you'll find us, and I'll do everything I can to make it as soon as possible. It's only going to be for a couple of Sundays, 3 at the most, and Tony said then he would be through back here, and we're welcome to come back and worship downstairs. So that way Jim and I won't have to walk up them stairs all the time. Young people like Mr. Hess, they just bounce up those stairs. But that's the schedule as it stands right now. Any questions on that? Okay. So we've got up until next Sunday, understood, and we'll find out where we're going to meet next Sunday. And see what God has in store as far as that is concerned. What we'll have to do, Jerry, I guess, is just make tape and then mail the tape to Jet until we get all of this, James, until we get all of this figured out and get it set up. He's going to be here in January, but I don't know if we'll be settled by then or not. Yes, sir? We'll be good. Yeah. Tuesday and Wednesday will not be interrupted, just the Sunday. So we'll make a tape and send it to him and do that for Sunday. So any other suggestions or things? Okay. Got that. And we'll be going to, if we mailed them the offering that we took up, yes, good. And they're going to be going to Central and South America next, the end of January, beginning of February. And they'll be doing that mission work. And so that's in that respect. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as not only as a believer here, but a believer empowered by the Spirit and therefore led by the Spirit in what we do with our money. Not just in the offering, people, but in everything. In everything we do, as far as the giving is concerned. We want to be under the power of the Spirit, led of Him, what to do with that which He has given to us. With these principles in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for using this humble assembly through 05. We consider it our destiny, our purpose of being here, not only to study the Scriptures in truth and the power of your Spirit, not only to live it under the power of the Spirit in our lives and our marriages and work, but Heavenly Father, to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer, to share with others who desire to hear the truths that you illuminate to us. It's our prayer, Heavenly Father, that as we put our cup out for the year of 06, that you will continue to use this assembly. You will continue, Heavenly Father, to allow us to meet individually here and worship together, and then the internet, publications, missions, speaking, whatever way, Heavenly Father, you see fit, that there's somebody somewhere who desires to hear the truth. We praise you, Father, for this assembly. We pray that you will continue to bless it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A little town in the Middle East that, if you just looked at it from economics, if you looked at it from geography, totally unimportant, totally insignificant. But because of what happened in Bethlehem, the Arabs, the Jews, the Christians all struggle for this little plot of land. It's just amazing that otherwise it's just totally insignificant. But because of what happened, it's important. Let's stand and sing number 85, all four verses, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you. Silent night, holy night. Well, was it really a quiet night when Jesus Christ was born? But you think about it. Can it really be quiet when God is getting ready to become man? I'm going to take a look at a few passages tonight and Tuesday and Wednesday of what really was going on. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is that God can open our eyes, the Spirit can open our eyes to see the things He would have us to see. I've done over 30 Christmas messages. I've never done the passage we're getting ready to look at. I have been a believer in Christ. I'm gone to church on Christmas. My goodness, it's got to be now over 50 years. And I've never heard it being used as a passage. And yet, the whole passage is about His birth. And let's spend a moment in prayer. We're going to need the Spirit to open our eyes in this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the prehistoric world, the scene was set for Christmas morning. A morning that Satan, the red dragon, did not want to happen, did not want to occur. A morning that has caused the nation of Israel so much pain. But it did happen. It occurred. God entered into the human race. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to see what was going on. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we're going to see, it's not a nice, quiet night when Jesus Christ was born. It was filled, with a time filled with turmoil, anger, hatred, contrived murder, deception, alarming. All this was going on. And as I said, I doubt that, maybe you have, but I doubt many have heard the passage we're going to look at as a Christmas message. But if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 for the Christmas story. And indeed, it's even more a Christmas story than is in the sense of all that was going on, Matthew and Mark and Luke's account about the manger and Mary and these type of things. It's even a different scene than what we studied in how John presents the Christmas story in light entered into the world, going back to Genesis 1. This one takes it to the whole spiritual warfare, bringing everything together in regard to His birth. So, this is going to be a reading of the Christmas story from the other side. Most of the stories that we know about, the baby is born, the Holy Spirit caused Mary to be pregnant, and then the movement into the stable, and laid in a manger, and the three wise men brought the gifts. But that's one side of the story. We're going to look at another side of the story. A lot more is involved with the Christmas morning, the first Christmas morning, than these passages reveal to us. So I want you to be aware this Christmas of the other side of what was going on. It was not all presents, and it was not all good news. The good news, just remember, what may be good news to some may be bad news to others. The good news is the Dallas Cowboys won yesterday. Well, that's not good news if you're a Carolina fan. They didn't think that was good news at all. They didn't like it when it was happening. So, good news, bad news. What's good for some may not be so good for another. Here's the other side of the story. Now, the first thing I want us to do, since we're just going to spend three lessons on this, is let's get the flow of what was going on here. So let's read in Revelation chapter 12, and I want you to just see how much is talked about the birth of Christ here. Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, screamed is the Greek here, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Not very silent. And another sign appeared in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, boom, 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 having seven heads, 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. What's this all about? How does this fit in with the Christmas story? Look at verse 4. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he, the dragon, might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she might be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not, the dragon and his angels were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was thrown down to the earth. He and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice. We're not through with the Christmas story yet. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea. We know about the sea. Because the devil has now come to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. And the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Okay, let's go back now and examine this version, this view, this story of the Christmas story. And a great sign, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven. Okay. Here's your first principle that we see. And we've seen it before. Nothing happens on earth that is not first affected by what is going on in heaven. Things that happen here are affected by what happens in heaven. Where did we first see this so vividly? In the study of Job. It became to us a driving principle for our own lives. Nothing happens even in your own life that is not, first of all, affected by what's going on in heaven. It's a response, it's a reaction, it's something happened in heaven that causes what happens in our life here. So we saw it in Job, and it certainly applies to the first Christmas. And people, it applies to the Christmas right up to this very day. Okay. And a great sign appeared in heaven. Next thing, a woman. All right, let's identify the woman. The woman is the nation of Israel. This is not Mary. This is the nation of Israel. We must see that to understand a lot that is going on here, to understand Israel and its history. So the woman is the nation of Israel. We do not live under the age of Israel. Today is not a nation. That is some special thing designed by God. Today it is the body of Christ that He works through. Christian in America, people, you are more associated with a believer in Iran, Iraq, Germany, France, anywhere in the world. You are more closely related to them than you are with an unbelieving American. God is using the body of Christ all over the world. That's what He's using. So don't become angry at what is happening in America today in regard to Christmas or creation evolution. Don't become angry. You can weep like Jeremiah did. You can weep like Christ did for Israel, for Jerusalem. You can weep for America. But don't become angry. As America moves further into darkness, that is further away from the light, further away from the truth, further away from God and from Christ, into darkness, we're just seeing the effect of darkness. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Young people, it isn't going to be that dramatic. But to some of us old-timers, what's happening in America is just, it's so horrible. It's so unfortunate. But we don't want to become angry and go out and want to change the government, change the world, and bring it all back. We just need to weep for America and just realize that what we're seeing in this country happens in a person's soul. As a person moves further and further away from the light, further and further away from the truth, their soul becomes dark. Their soul becomes darkened. They're not able to see the truth. They're walking in darkness, like we're studying in the Gospel of John, generally on Sunday morning. They're in darkness, and they know not where they're going, what they're doing. Don't get angry at the way we're changing the Constitution, the interpretation of it, the understanding of it, the understanding of freedoms. All of these things are correctly understood only when you're in the light. Only when you're in truth. Only when you have that influence. And we are losing that influence in our judicial system, executive system, the legislative branch. We're losing the influence of the light. And all they have to go by is the darkness. And we see so many times, people, what have we seen over and over and over? Satan is going to use the law to do. What does the Bible say? The law, what? What does the law do? The law kills. Don't be surprised that they're using the law to change America. That's what the law will do. They're going to use the law to break this country down. They're going to use the law. Oh, the Christians just go crazy with this judge. He was in Pennsylvania about creation and evolution, intelligent design, and all the uproar. People weep, but don't be surprised. He's using the law. And by his interpretation of the law, he's right. And it's just, we're going to see more and more and more of the use of the law to kill America, as you and I know it. And others will not even see what's going on. So, let's don't be alarmed by that. Now, let's see what it says. A woman, all right, we know that's Israel now, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Okay, what's the sun? The sun is Jacob. The sun is Jacob, and the moon is Rachel. On her head, a crown of 12 stars. That's the 12 suns, or the 12 tribes of Israel. So that we now have that intact, who we're talking about. Now, hold your place, if you will, and let's turn back to Genesis 37 for a moment. Genesis 37. Okay, let's read together Genesis 37 in just two verses and get it in perspective. Genesis 37. I turned to 47. Let me get back here with you. And we're going to read verses 9 and 10. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, Lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream that you've had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come and bow ourselves down before you to the ground? Now, we're not here to study that passage, but just get in perspective of what we're dealing with here. Okay, Revelation 12:1. So we know who everyone is now. We know the sign in heaven, a woman, that's the nation of Israel, clothed with the sun, that's Jacob, and the moon, that's Rachel, and on her head, 12, had a crown of 12 stars. That refers to the 12 tribes of Israel. So verse 1, the virgin. Now verse 2. And she was with child. Pregnant. Don't get nervous, ladies. Just be calm. Pregnant. Okay. Before we go any further. But you're right. If you take notes, here's your principle. God the Holy Spirit uses pregnancy to explain the problems and sufferings of Israel. Going to use this analogy. The preparation of the woman. The woman is Israel. Start back with the circumcision of Abraham. And then the great prophecies of a virgin birth, which, by the way, the nation of Israel will reject and ignore. What happens when you're in pregnancy? Pain. Sometimes morning sicknesses, all these things, pain and suffering. These are the things that accompany pregnancy for the child to be born. And all the opposition to this woman, her pregnancy, which is that, what is the pregnancy? The formation of the nation of Israel. Opposition to her giving birth, we'll come to that in a moment. All this sets up an understanding to all the pain and the suffering and the adversity that Israel's had to go in all her life. Think of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Think of it as a long period, not 9 months, but think of it as a long period of pregnancy. Just wanting to get this birth done. Because once, what happens once the birth, no matter how horrible the birth is, once it's over, it's over. Okay. Think of the nation of Israel in a state of being pregnant, wanting so much to just give birth to the Messiah King. And that's their struggle. And the Holy Spirit's going to use this for us, not only here, but in other passages. So that's what we have going on. Look at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, verse 14, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Remember, Jews love signs. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, the prophecy is directly related to Mary, but it's a picture of the nation of Israel. This is one that they will ignore, even reject this declaration, so they will not know what is going on. in their rejection. And what is that going to do? That's going to compound their suffering. It's going to compound the suffering that's already there because she's pregnant. Because the nation of Israel is in the formation of bringing to earth the God-man. So we have the beginning of just forming the nation, Abraham and Sarah. Then we have the 12 tribes. And then we develop the tribes. And then you have families. The family of David. All of this, I want you to see the whole history of Israel as one thing. The pains of pregnancy. To give birth to a child. That's why the nation of Israel was found. That he could bring salvation into the world. And this whole history of Israel is nothing but a long study of pregnancy. A woman normally takes 9 months. This is going to take 1,000 years, just a pregnancy. Having all of this formation going on, 2,000 years, go back to Abraham. 2,000 years of pregnancy. What does that mean? 2,000 years of the pain. 2,000 years of the sickness. 2,000 years just waiting for it to happen. Get this over with. Get it done. Look at verse 2, what happens. See how it's written for us. And she cried out. The Greek here screamed. Being in labor and in pain to give birth. Now we know from verse 5, it's going to be a male child. But what I want you to see when you read, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth, I would like you to see this not as Mary, and I would like you to see it as the nation of Israel in their whole history. This is their whole history, screaming out in labor and in pain to do one thing, to give birth. To give birth to the God-man into history. This is beautiful. It's another view of what's going on with the nation of Israel in coming to the birth of Jesus Christ. So we know that this is a male child. We know that this male child will rule the world in the future. Now, what is important? What is important to us this morning is the point of her being with child or pregnant. Let's talk about that for a moment. Because we're not talking about him at this point. We're talking about her, the nation of Israel. This draws attention to her condition before the birth of Christ on Christmas morning. As a mother in pain, in labor, this is the condition of Israel throughout its history. And she cried out. She screamed out. This is periodically occurring throughout the history of Israel. They scream out in pain and in labor. Being in labor and pain. Now, I'll tell you about the Greek word here. The pain here is suffering. It even can be torture. It can even be torture. I'm always amused when I meet a lady. Her first birth was just as smooth and as wonderful and no real big problems. And this is, I'm going to have another one. And then she has that second one. Oh my goodness, this is nothing like the first one. So, I want to picture this nation of Israel as in a long period of pregnancy, enduring labor and pain. Labor, the formation of the fetus. That's what's happening in the nation of Israel with the tribes and then the family. You zero in on the race of the Jews. All the trouble that went there. Then you start zeroing in on the tribes. Then you start narrowing it down. It goes like this in an inverted way. It comes like this. We're going to start here with a race. And then we're going to keep narrowing in. Then we're going to go to tribes. Then we're going to come down here to a family, and that family is the family of David. And then finally we come to the birth. So this is what we have looking. This is what we're looking at in this case. So look at our text. In pain and in suffering, torture, to give birth. This is the history of Israel for 2,000 years. Ladies, can you imagine 2,000 years of pregnancy? 2,000 years of the pain and the screaming and the suffering. So this is before Christmas morning. And right here is the reason that we move into why this is not a nice silent night. God entering into the human race is not going to be done some silent little way. When I say before Christmas morning, I'm talking about her history throughout the condition of Israel throughout her whole history. That's before Christmas morning. Israel has been in a state, let's put it this way, as weird as this may sound, Israel has been in a state of pregnancy for almost 2,000 years. Israel has been pregnant for 2,000 years, trying to get this down where we can give birth to the Son of God, to the God-man. That means that the nation of Israel, she has been under stress and pain, has been screaming through the pregnancy. All the things that went on in that regard. People, Israel is unique as to its stressful history, and I think you know that. Israel has been in labor and is in labor. Right up today, I'm going to bring this right up to today, 2005, because Jews that will not recognize that birth, they're still screaming. They're still looking for this birth. They're still looking for a king who will come and rescue their nation from the slavery. And they are suffering. Pardon the expression, it's kind of like a miscarriage. There's nothing really going on, but they're in great pain. And it's not going to be relieved until they believe by faith in this birth of Jesus Christ as the Messiah King. So even right up today, this still fits their condition. So as we move historically to the birth of Jesus Christ, Israel has been in turmoil as a woman in labor pains at the point of his birth under the control of Rome. But we could go back and study all the heads of the seven-headed dragon when they were taken into slavery into the first head, Egypt. The Assyrian Empire comes in and takes them away. We just could go through all through the Medo-Persian Empire, and then we come to Rome at the time of his birth. They paid taxes to Rome, as well as paying their own tithe to their own temple, and then above that some offerings if you had anything left. Israel was in slavery to the law, in pains of the law. They had to submit to Roman law. They had to submit to the Mosaic law. They're in great pains in that regard. Great pains as enslaved to a nation. Israel is enslaved to their own flesh nature. All of these things, people, just add up to the great labor pains of this woman through history to give birth to this child. Now, got a good picture of Israel? It's a picture of the condition of the whole human race. Enslaved to law. Enslaved to rules. Enslaved to the flesh nature. Now, we're all trapped in Satan's kingdom of darkness that's coming up. And if you think for one moment, if you get in your picture that in your mind, we are in Satan's kingdom of darkness, think about this. This is his domain. This is his kingdom, planet Earth. Do you think he's just going to sit back and do nothing when he is going to enter into Satan's kingdom? To take him on and to do what? Take us out of Satan's kingdom? Oh, people, this is not a silent night. It's a night of planning of murder, and we'll see that. Plotting, doing everything he can to stop this. He does not want this birth. And he's going to do everything he can to prevent this birth. So, this is not a nice silent night for Satan. He's got to stop, prevent this birth. This is why Israel's history is a history of pain and suffering and persecution. She's pregnant, in pain, with bringing the child into the world who is going to be the Messiah King. Satan's not going to let this happen. He is going to continue to badger this woman, continue to badger her, continue to do everything he can to prevent her from coming pregnant. Prevent her from giving birth. Now you begin to understand the Holy Ghost. begin to understand a lot of things about the Jews in their history before the cross and since the cross. Before the cross, she is a woman pregnant, and he's got to stop it, and he's going to do everything he can to prevent it. Please look with me, Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22, verse 23. You who dwell in Lebanon, nested in the cedars, how you will groan with pains come upon you. Pain like a woman in childbirth. I just want to read it so I want you to see that God has been using, and we're not going to look at all of them, but God has been using this pregnancy thing all through the Bible that we can get a picture of the nation of Israel and its study. So what kind of night is it? Not a silent night. Israel's in great suffering, in labor pains, not just crying people, screaming out. And just because she has given birth, multitude of Jews are still in great pain. Still screaming out because they've rejected this birth. Now, we now come to verse 3. In verse 3, we have another sign in heaven. And this reveals more on the suffering of the woman in labor, the suffering of Israel throughout her past history. Suffering at the time of the actual time of his birth, and the suffering right up to today. We're going to get another picture of. We already understand there's a natural pain with being pregnant, with the formation of the race and of the tribes and of the family and of getting zeroing into the family of David. Just being pregnant, there's enough problems. But now we're going to see some more of the suffering, some more of why she's screaming out in verse 3. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 12 and let's read verse 3. Verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns on his head, were 7 diadems. And his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth. He's been doing that for 2,000 years before the cross. So that when she gave birth, he might devour the child. There's a lot of information in 2 and 3, or verses 3 and 4. Some of it directly applies, but it all applies because of the way the Holy Spirit's pulled it together to one thing, his birth. Pulled it together with his birth. Now, we'll close here, pick up Tuesday night with verse 3, and study more of the labor pain of this woman. And then continue and close out our study, a brief Christmas study on this birth. I'm not going to let this go into 206, so don't get nervous. We'll finish it by Wednesday night. So can't let that happen. But let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we get another view of Christmas. Just a little historical understanding of the pain and the suffering and the crying of Israel in pregnancy. And then when the child is born, standing right there to make sure that it dies at birth. He's going to do everything he can to prevent the pregnancy. And then he's going to do everything he can to prevent this child from living. And it's a murder. Pray, Father, you'll give us the grace to finish this out Tuesday and Wednesday night and see what kind of night it was when God became man. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Wes is going to play, but if you got to go, I understand that. But if you can give us a few moments. Now, the only chairs that are ours are the brown ones. The blue ones are not ours, so we will not take those back there. And Jerry, I'm going to let you, if you got a minute, that you be responsible for rolling that back. Maybe John will help you or something. And And then we get the songbooks and take those back there. And Jim, won't you be back there to direct where to put the things? Do you mind? Just start organizing in that respect. This table is not ours. This table is ours. Okay. All right, Wes.